Good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumery. More than 200 Juneau residents gathered downtown at Overstreet Park last night for a candlelight vigil. They were there to honor a man who was fatally shot by a U.S. Border Patrol officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, during protests against ongoing ICE operations.
There's a lot of grief, there's a lot of anger, and there's also a lot of hope.
That's Claire Richardson, a volunteer with ReSisters, a local group of women who work for social justice and equality. She helped organize the vigil. The crowd gathered just a few hours after the pop-up event was posted on social media by several advocacy groups in Juneau. Multiple local and state leaders spoke to the crowd as snow fell Sunday night, including Juneau Assemblymember Maureen Hall. She says immigrants are the bedrock of the community.
Let us keep praying, let us keep speaking out, and let us keep standing in solidarity with those in the community that are too afraid to show up at something like this tonight.
Juneau's vigil on Sunday night joins a wave of vigils and protests in Minneapolis and across the United States that erupted over the weekend following the death of another person killed by federal officers during immigration enforcement protests. The man killed was identified as 37-year-old Alex Preti. Preti was an intensive care nurse at a VA hospital. His death marked the second person killed in Minneapolis during encounters with immigration officials amid a crackdown in the city. Just weeks prior, an ICE officer shot and killed 37-year-old Renee Good in her vehicle while the agency was conducting an operation in the city. The deaths have ignited fierce debates, with Minnesota and congressional leaders pressing the Trump administration over the facts and legality of actions by ICE officers as immigration enforcement ramps up across the country. In Anchorage and Fairbanks, residents gathered in similar protests this weekend, according to social media posts. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski, along with other congressional Republicans, has called for an investigation into Preti's shooting. Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. Juneau teens and residents are calling on the Alaska legislature and Governor Mike Dunleavy to call off the state's longtime push for a natural gas pipeline in Alaska. On Saturday, more than 40 people gathered at the steps of the Alaska State Capitol in downtown Juneau to protest the long-sought Alaska LNG project. The project was led by Alaska Youth for Environmental Action, a youth-led environmental advocacy group with chapters across the state. Paige Kirsch is a senior at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'a Kahle, and a member of the group's Juneau chapter.
I think it's really important to be cognizant of the future of Alaska, especially because I do want to live here when I grow up, and I don't want to live somewhere that's purely for economic profit.
Alaska officials have been pushing for the proposed pipeline for decades, and the state has already poured more than $500 million into the project. If it's built, the project would move natural gas from the North Slope to South Central for export overseas. Proponents for the project say it would tap into an underdeveloped natural resource and provide energy security to a region facing shortfalls. But others remain skeptical about whether the project will actually be built, citing high costs and competing global energy projects. At the protest on Saturday, multiple teens took to a microphone to share some of the negative impacts they believe the pipeline would bring, including bisecting land, disrupting habitat, and emitting carbon dioxide. Adigan Hood, a junior at the high school, says Alaska's dollars would be better spent on renewable energy to mitigate human-caused climate change.
We are told that the 800-mile Alaska liquid natural gas pipeline is a bridge to a cleaner future. But you cannot build a bridge to a stable climate out of fossil fuel infrastructure.
Last year, an Anchorage Superior Court judge dismissed a youth-led lawsuit challenging the pipeline. There was one counter-protester at the event on Saturday. Kevin Nye, a retired engineer, stood on his own holding a sign that read, "Build the Pipeline." He said he wanted to represent those in Alaska who support the economic benefits the pipeline would bring to the state. And the State Board of Education unanimously approved a school psychology master's program at the University of Alaska Anchorage aimed to address the state's shortage of school psychologists. The approval took place during the board's special virtual meeting on Thursday. This comes after the board voted it down last October, after some members brought up concerns about social justice mentioned in a sample syllabus. Several people testified at the meeting in support of approving the program, including Palmer resident Rebecca Emerson. Her son Winston is a second grader with Down syndrome, and she says school psychologists are instrumental to making sure he gets the services they need.
I ask you to look past the ideological debate and see the faces of the students, like Winston, who rely on these services. Please approve this program so that more Alaskan students can have the support they need to succeed in the classroom.
Board member Catherine McCollum originally brought up concerns about social justice in the program. After receiving clarification about how the program works, McCollum says she appreciates the efforts to create a homegrown program.
I'm not thrilled that we have all these contractors from outside of our state. So I would much prefer to see people from Alaska serving Alaskans. And so I appreciate your efforts here.
People have a few ways to become licensed school psychologists in Alaska. One main way is to graduate from a program accredited by the National Association of School Psychologists, or NASP. Another is to go through a program approved by the state's education board. UAA's program is on its way to getting NASP accreditation. The earliest it could achieve that is 2029, 1 year after the program's first cohort graduates. Now, with the state board's approval, those students could become licensed and hired to work shortly after graduating. And with the second regular session of the 34th Alaska Legislature underway, KTOA has been checking in with members of Juneau's delegation. Morning host Mike Lane recently sat down with Representative Andy Story to learn what's on her agenda for this session.
Welcome, Representative, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
The second regular session of the 34th Alaska Legislature has just begun. What are your top priorities for this session?
My top priorities for this session have to do with keeping our young people here, cost of living, housing is really important, and of course, education, and ferries.
And speaking of education, of course, you recently pre-filed a bill on education funding, House Bill 261. Can you give us a brief explanation of what the bill would do if passed?
Well, if you've been living in Juneau for a long time, you know that our education funding is backwards, that we do not get our numbers to our school districts till like June after the session is over. And so they are not being able to give teach contracts to their teaching staff, to staff at all. And so they're living in limbo and they leave us or we can't maintain them. And so this bill has us do our funding a year early where they get the number. It takes the average of the last 3 years student count or your last prior year student count. So you can, whichever is greater. So we will have give more stability to school districts. So that's just critically important. And this came about because I'm on the Task Force for Education Funding. We've been reviewing. If you are an independent school district, you have your own taxing authority. They usually take the current year and the prior 2 year, but we cannot raise our own revenue. We are dependent upon what the state does and our municipalities. It allows us to focus on student achievement and not redoing budgets and not our community in chaos because we have to predict all this cut. We don't know our number. So I want to give confidence to our school funding budget process.
So what is your plan for getting this bill passed?
Well, my plan for getting this bill passed is I co-chair education. I'm starting to talk to people about it. I have an advantage that I'm on the task force, and so people have read that report. They're aware of that, but just have a lot of talking to do. But people have been living this roller coaster of instability for funding for school districts. So it's not going to be a surprise for them that we're trying to stabilize this.
What other bills have you sponsored or co-sponsored that you think could get traction or succeed this session?
Well, I'm really hoping my bill, which is in House Rules on housing investments, where ADA will be allowed to do workforce housing, to give developers loans for workforce housing of 5 dwelling units or more. This has been critical. We have to move on housing. There are a few things that AHFC does, but this is something ADA could do that would really help developers.
And get, ADA is?
The Alaska Industrial Development Economic Association.
Thank you. How can Alaskans inside and outside of Juneau get a hold of you?
907-465-3744. Of course, I'm on the website, but calling is really good. I very frequently do Zoom meetings, you know, phone calls, and I do that with Alaska residents too, Juneau residents who do not want to drive and try and find parking downtown. They just call and we set up a meeting. So please call, please email. Probably the number one thing we have to do is bring the community, the state, in on our policies and get their voices heard. And so I like to hear what people really want me to be working on.
To wrap up, as one of Juneau's representatives, what do you see as your ultimate duties and responsibilities to the people of Juneau and all of Alaska?
Really to meet our constitutional obligations because it is so important. The people of the state, we have a lot of resources in the state. The biggest resource we have is each of us, is the people. And so I want to try and bring that voice up to the Capitol that it's important, our human resources, and how are we making sure we have quality of life here.
Representative Andy Story, thank you so much for joining us, and I wish you the best this session.
Thank you.
That was KTOO's Mike Lane talking to Juneau Representative Andy Story. And former Alaska Revenue Commissioner Adam Crum deviated from state policy and failed to perform the necessary due diligence before committing millions in state savings to a private equity fund. That's the conclusion of an outside review ordered by Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration after Crum's decision came to light last summer. The D.C.-based law firm WilmerHale says its investigation raises, quote, significant concerns about whether Crum met his fiduciary duties under state law. The state ultimately invested some $50 million from its primary rainy day fund, the Constitutional Budget Reserve, with the private equity firm Digital Bridge. Asked about the report, Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman was unequivocal.
Clearly, this was an unsuitable investment for the CBR. No question about it. The ex-commissioner broke his fiduciary duty to execute it.
The state ultimately sold the investment to an Israeli insurance company and lost roughly $850,000. The report, which cost the state an additional $350,000, found no evidence of criminal wrongdoing or self-dealing. And it said Crum had the authority as revenue commissioner to commit money to the private equity fund. But that's only if he had done the requisite due diligence. And the report says there's reason to believe that he did not. For his part, Crum says private equity investment was an effort to simultaneously boost the returns of the savings account and spur investment in Alaska. But according to the investigation, he chose not to inform the governor's budget office, the legislative auditor, or members of the legislature as state policy requires. Crum casts the issue the investigation raises as, quote, procedural. He says details weren't his mandate as revenue commissioner. Crum resigned as revenue commissioner last summer and is now running for governor. The report included four recommendations aimed at ensuring a similar issue wouldn't happen again. As it was released, Governor Mike Dunleavy issued an administrative order placing additional checks on the revenue commissioner's authority to invest in unconventional assets. In the order, he said he hopes the changes would make the state's investment decisions more transparent. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's raining and 35 degrees. It looks like we have more rain and slightly higher temps on the forecast for the rest of the week. We're looking at temperatures between the high 30s and the low 40s. You're listening to KTOO.